Sometimes this book of the Bible is called the Song of Songs. The verse I chose this morning is from Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 4. Let him lead me to the banquet hall, and let his banner over me be love. Let's consider some background of this book of the Bible called the Song of Solomon, or also known as the Song of Songs. The Song of Solomon is exactly that. It's a song between two lovers. One of those, as tradition and as scripture suggests to us, was King Solomon. And then the other is a young lady. This is a love song between a man and a woman. Yes, there are songs like that in the Bible. Those of us who are married know what love is like and the joys that come in a relationship between a man and a woman. This book of the Bible is about longing, about passion, emotions. It's about the love that burns within your heart when you meet that special one. When I was a young man, I was telling you about meeting Rhonda in college. And we actually met each other our freshman year, just a couple of weeks into our college. Yes, as a young 19-year-old, my heart was thumping really hard when I met Rhonda. This song is also about the commitment that these two lovers make to one another. It was written by Solomon, King Solomon. He was the third king of Israel after Saul, David, and then came Solomon. Solomon was David's favorite son, and it's who David wanted to be king after him. The Bible covers a lot about Solomon's life in the book of 1 Kings chapter 1 through 11. In those chapters, we find out how King Solomon built the great temple in Jerusalem. David had wanted to build the temple, but God said, no, we'll build the temple later. It was his son Solomon who built the massive temple in Jerusalem. God appeared to King Solomon in a dream and asked him for anything he wanted, wealth, riches, and King Solomon chose wisdom. God granted Solomon wisdom. He became one of the wisest persons of all time, King Solomon. And so that's where we get the book of Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and the book of Ecclesiastes, all written by King Solomon. Indeed, God did grant him wisdom, but also wealth. It was under Solomon that Israel grew to be the largest of any point in its history. It became a mighty kingdom and a wealthy kingdom. People from all over that part of the world flocked and came to see Solomon. They brought him offerings and gifts. Solomon married many foreign wives as part of his political agenda. But something happened later in his life. Towards the end of his life, he exchanged genuine love for pleasure. We read about that in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. Some of the saddest words in the Bible. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, "Since this is your attitude, and you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates." And that's what happened. King Solomon's heart turned away from God and turned to all of these wives he had. He had like 1,000 women in his life. Can you believe that? Wives and concubines. And his heart turned to pleasure. He did not live out the very words he wrote in this Song of Solomon. He was led astray. Back in this book, we read that there was a banner that was placed over the lover. And this banner read, "I am my beloved's and he is mine." This was a banner of love that marked this relationship. Banners have been used for many different reasons. Armies use banners to identify themselves. Corporations and businesses use banners to advertise their products. Schools and teams put out banners, especially during like a football game or basketball game. They put banners out as part of a way to rally the troops and get everyone shouting and cheering. A standard or a banner is the rallying point, and it's what guides the individual soldier The banner of love that God puts above us fulfills the deepest desire we have in the human heart. God put within every one of us a desire to be united with Him in perfect union and fellowship. We were created to be in Christ and to know and experience the depth of love found only in fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Love is a relational word. To love is to be in a relationship with someone else. God is in relationship with us. God's love for us. God's love is shown to us in and through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says that God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, that means we were walking away. We were in rebellion. Jesus died for us. 1 John chapter 4 verse 10. This is love, not that we loved God, which we can't do very well, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God sent His Son to take care of our sin problem. That's how much He loves us. Romans 5:5. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God is the author of true love. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because He first loved us." The world's love that we see around us is a distortion of God's true love. It's distorted because of sin and self. We make our love so conditional and we turn it all into about ourselves. We use love for selfish reasons. God's love is meant to be seen in relationships. For example, the relationship of marriage, friendships, even our relationships with our enemies, whom we are called to love also. The essence of being made in the image of God, we are created in His image. The essence of that means love. To be in the image of God is to love. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5 says that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength. Jesus repeated that in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. God's love is found in Jesus Christ. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is the Prince of peace, the giver of blessings. He is the firstborn over all creation, the first to rise from the dead. We come into the banquet hall of Christ, and we are treated as special guests. We are clothed with the special garment of righteousness. We are given the fruitful fragrance of the Holy Spirit. A table is prepared for us with the greatest delights the human soul longs for. We come as desperate, hungry, parched, and fearful travelers. We are invited to throw away our burdensome packs of sin and legalism, self-service, pains, and sorrows. We can toss those to the side because now we're in the banquet hall of our Lord Jesus Christ. All those who enter into this banquet hall experience the joys of fellowship with the King Himself. Our hearts' desires find fulfillment in our fellowship around the banquet table. This is what the world needs most. It is God's love. But what also the Lord distorts, the world distorts and rejects. We are blinded by our desires that have given into temptation. The top article that has gone viral around the world is that people are looking for love. People write songs and they sing songs about falling in love and then falling out of love. If you want to listen to country music, it's all about falling out of love or hoping to fall into love. We do not need to worry about finding God's love. We don't have to go searching for it because He's already given it to us. God's love is unconditional. It doesn't matter who we are, what we've done, what we look like, what our family is, how much we have or don't have. God's love is unconditional. God's love makes all the difference in the world. We are God's love story. In the Jewish wedding, there is a canopy that goes above the bride and the groom. And it is a symbol of God's watchful protection. God covers us with His shelter. There is a banner above us that says, I love you. God loves us. We are in God's love story. Do you feel the tug of God's love on your heart this morning? Our love for God. Go on to the next. This is our deepest longing. We long to love God, to find our rest in Him. We want to know the love of Christ that surpasses our most devoted reasoning ability. We desire with our hearts to follow the Good Shepherd through the mountain paths of His glory and grace. We hope to experience His power in our lives to help us overcome the difficulties, the trials, the tests, the guilt, the sin, and the shame that we have and we experience. We want to have the victory that the Bible promises to us. We want to live in confidence, knowing that deep down inside ourselves, there's a hope, and that hope is found only in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Have you ever wondered why was the first miracle that Jesus ever performed a wedding feast? Why was the first miracle He performed was turning water into wine so that a wedding could have a great time? I've wondered that sometimes. One possibility is that this wedding was a prelude to Jesus' ministry and a foretaste of the greatest wedding ever in heaven. You see, the church is the bride of Christ. Christ loves the church and gave Himself for her just as a husband is to give himself to his wife. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, it says, Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. We will be the guest of honor at the wedding feast of the Lamb. Isn't that good news? Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, that is John, the Revelator, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. We are the bride who is invited to this wedding feast of the Lamb. There is plenty of room in the banquet hall. Everyone's invited to come and to feast at this table with the Lamb. But it is up to us if we will respond to this invitation. God's people are those who have put their trust in the Lamb and show this trust by living in faithful obedience as channels of God's love. The Lord promises to bring us to a banqueting house. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. What kind of house, what kind of place is Jesus preparing for us? It's a banqueting hall. We're going to go and celebrate and live in joy and peace forevermore. We are His bride, and we are looking forward to that. So it is an open invitation. But not everyone accepts this invitation. So sad. The sad truth is that some people will reject and turn away. Jesus told a story about a great banquet, the great banquet in heaven, in fact, in Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. Let me read this story to you. When one of those at the table with Jesus heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry, and he ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there's still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Jesus was telling this to the religious people, the Pharisees. Those were the people who should have known better about this great banquet. But they turned their back and they didn't come with the invitation. So Jesus says, hey, invite the world. Invite anyone who will come. There is a lot of room at this banquet. It is a sad thing to miss out on the one true love story of creation. For those who accept this invitation, the word from Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 16, later in this chapter, bring great peace and joy to us. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Can you say that today in your heart of hearts? I am my beloved's, and he is mine. And his banner over me says love. We must open our eyes to this love. Are you in love with Jesus today? We cannot experience God's love in Christ by our own thinking and mental reasoning abilities. We are dead to sin and we are caught up in ourselves. We are trapped in our own pride and our own selfishness. Our love is conditioned by feelings and circumstances. Love opens the eyes of our understanding and enables us to see more of the truth than can those who are blinded by self-love. Those who love most see most. God has initiated the relationship of love. This relationship is experienced through the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit of love. We learn what love is through the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Spirit introduces us to his best friend, Jesus, and invites us to go on a date. The Holy Spirit attracts us to Jesus. We find someone who loves us just the way we are and has better things planned for us, and he begins to change us into who he wants us to be. We fall in love and we want to give ourselves totally to this Savior. How deeply do we love the Lord of love today? How deeply do we desire to please him? Do our hearts burn with the joy of thinking about our Lord and Savior? Or are we too caught up in our own self-love, too caught up in the distortions of the world around us to see that actually God has this banner over us and it says, you are special in my sight. In fact, I love you so much that I sent my son so that you can experience my love in your life. Today, as a response to this,